I have great news to start with today. Violent crime continues to fall and is at extraordinarily low rates for the history of the United States. Now, you might say, David, that's not what I'm hearing on Fox News. It's certainly not what I'm hearing from Republicans. I'm hearing crime is up and that under Joe Biden, the United States has become a violent, crime-riddled country, the likes of which none of us would ever imagine under Donald Trump. Well, unfortunately, none of that comports with the facts. And this is maybe the most important or notable example of anecdote versus statistics and data. President Joe Biden addressed crime during the State of the Union address, and he said that we have a historically low murder rate from 2023 in the United States, a significant decline in violent crime more broadly, one of the lowest levels in 50 years. And that is absolutely the case. It is also the case that when the overall crime rate goes down, it doesn't necessarily go down everywhere or by the same amount. And if individuals see crime or are the victims of crime, it doesn't really matter to them, understandably, if as a country it is 20% less violent. If you were the victim of a violent crime, you care about it. It still affects you. And that makes sense. But this gets us to public perception versus statistics. And there's a really good ABC News piece, which we will link to, which says U.S. statistics show violent crime dramatically falling. So why is there a rising clash with perceptions? A Trump supporter is quoted as saying, I don't believe the statistics. And there's two elements to this. And one of them that has to be understood is that much like with the border, absent any real coherent substantive policy package from Republicans about exactly what they would do to make the economy even better, right? Because it's already quite good. Absent any real set of ideas that would make voters say, hey, you know what? Those ideas sound better than what we get now. I'll vote for Republicans. They don't have that. So what they have is screaming about the border and screaming about crime, even if both stories don't actually comport with the facts. So one reason why crime is down, but many people say it's up, is they are being propagandized too. They are being lied to because Republicans have nothing else. But let's talk about some more reasonable things to discuss. It is true that if you personally observe crime in your community, even if it's down 15%, right? And it's so hard to sometimes put numbers on this. What does it mean? How many crimes do people normally observe? I don't know. But you could have a situation where if you live in a big city, there is less crime, say 15% less. But over the course of a year, you still hear about roughly the same number of individual crimes. There are still some individual violent murders, even in a city with millions of people. If crime is down, if murders are down 15%, you could still have 150 hours of coverage on local news about murders. So the perception may not reflect that general reality. But when we zoom out and we look at crime statistics and reports, you see that there can be local places, right? You look at South Carolina. South Carolina, very red state. It's the eighth most dangerous state. And even though crime is down 3% in South Carolina, generally, it's one of the more dangerous states. And you, if you live in South Carolina, wouldn't really have a reason to think about or even necessarily believe that crime nationally is down. Because 3% isn't that much in South Carolina, and it's still one of the most dangerous states. Now, whether that's Joe Biden's fault is the sort of second order question when it comes to politics. You look at New York City. New York City, in terms of crime rates, is far safer than Oklahoma City. But because so much media is based in New York and because so many people live in New York, you still get a ton of individual stories about crime. And the perception can remain that there's a lot of crime in New York. It's consistent. And indeed, even though violent crime is down during the pandemic, we saw what is called subway crime up. This includes sort of pettier crime. We're not talking about murders, but crime committed on the subway. And then you get the perception that how could New York possibly be any safer? Subway crime is up. Yes, subway crime is up. Violent and crime and murders are down. And by the way, when you have millions of people, you'll still get local news that is filled with individual stories about crime. So that's how it becomes a political issue. And despite the numbers, the Republican Party and Trump supporters, absent any serious participation in the political system on policy, as I mentioned, are linking crime with the border and linking all of it with Biden and wrongly claiming it's immigrants, documented and or undocumented, that are committing the crime, even though in reality, the people committing the most crimes in terms of rate are natural born American citizens. So that's a lot of what is going on right here. And it is also true that we have seen a rise in hate crimes, many of them perpetrated by the very right wingers saying they are concerned about crime. When you look at the increased categories of crime, it's hate crimes, including anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim incidents. Now, forget about the fact that, as David Baddiel writes about, Jews don't count as minorities in the minds of many for a lot of different reasons, based themselves in anti-Semitic tropes, which are beyond the scope of this story. That is a type of crime that is up. It's often not violent by normal definitions. It's rarely murder. But we do see more hate crimes, particularly targeting Jews and Muslims. But that is happening at the hands of many of the right wingers who are saying crime's a problem in this country, despite the fact that violent crime is down. So what can be done? I don't know. This is a tough one. Media in general focus on individual high profile events, and that really skews perceptions because, again, as I said, if you normally hear about four major high profile crimes on national media and a quarter of local news focuses on crime, you can fill 9 minutes of local news with crime in cities, even if crime is down 90%, because you only need a few stories. So that's one problem, which is media coverage. The other issue is the fact that efforts to reduce crime and their successes rarely get the same amount of coverage. And we see law enforcement and public officials and others working in some cases productively to reduce crime, but prevented crimes rarely get the same attention as lurid, violent anecdotes that can be told on media. But overall, in terms of violent crimes and murders and all of these other sorts of high level categories, we are seeing a decline. It's not being reflected in media coverage. It's not often visible, but it is the reality. So I think we have to continue talking about it. We have to continue pushing forward the news and the data and meeting people where they are. Hey, I understand if you are aware of specific crimes where you live, that's a concern and it's something we need to deal with. Here's the data overall. This is the reality. Another Republican is quitting, and it is now putting the House majority in danger. This is truly fascinating because it is another disaster of their own making. They lost George Santos after he was expelled. We are seeing individually members of the House resign. And the latest is Republican Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, chair of the China Select Committee. He is bailing out, quitting on April 19th of this year. When he leaves, this is going to leave House Republicans with a one vote margin. Remember, they won the House in 2022, but that slim majority to begin with has been becoming slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. There's going to be a special election for the seat formerly held by Brian Higgins in New York, expected to remain in the hands of Democrats. Gallagher saying he planned to retire at the end of the term, but now he is leaving more quickly. And again, it's a similar situation to others that we've seen. He had discussions with his family, he says. He coordinated with House Republican leadership. And this is the time that he determined he is going to leave. He was considered a rising star in the Republican Party, declined to run against Senator Tammy Baldwin over on the Senate side. And now we have a situation where it is going to go to 217 for Republicans. Ken Buck, of course, in Colorado, as we discussed last week or the week before, going to be resigning as well. So what is this going to do when it comes to the majority? Well, it leaves zero room for dissent. When you have a majority that is this slim, any dissent can mean you don't pass the bill. It's that simple. And one of the real questions as we move forward is, what is Speaker of the House Mike Johnson going to do about this when it comes to from here through the election? Is it going to be prevent votes from coming forward, putting the House essentially at a standstill unless you really are so confident that you have the votes that you need? You also have a major risk of defection, where Democrats who control the White House, control the Senate, and don't quite control the House can now start to go to some of the more reasonable members of the House. You only need a few at this point. You go to just a few members of the House and say, hey, what would it take for you to join us on this particular issue or on that particular issue? And it actually endangers it from the point of Republicans. Obviously, it's a great thing for Democrats. It endangers Republicans in the sense that just a few members of the House could end up granting Democrats significant wins that then can be used by Democrats to justify their elections in November. So this is interesting in a number of different ways, not the least of which it was supposed to be a red wave in 2022. Well, they fell further behind in terms of control of the Senate. They did squeak out control of the House, but between Buck and Santos and forthcoming Gallagher and other problems in the House, their practical majority is going to be almost zero. I love to say sometimes it couldn't happen to nicer people, but these are generally not nice people, at least not so far, not in so far as their legislative priorities go. And if indeed they get crushed in November, which I'm not predicting, it could happen. They could get crushed in November, although I don't know, and we all need to get out and vote. It would be deservingly so. Santos says he's running again. We've got the Lauren Boebert situation. I mean, this is really whacked stuff that's going on. If anybody deserves to lose, it's Republicans who squeak out barely a majority, almost lose it, have no policy platform on which they are running, and may end up losing everything after claiming we're going to win it all. Much of this is top down. So it will really depend on who gets out to vote for Trump, who stays home, and what portion of Republicans are motivated to go out and say, Trump's not for me. I'm voting Biden. We've heard from some of them. We'll hear from another one later on today. So let's take a quick break. Packed program, much more coming right up. So many people in our audience have become fans of our sponsor, Ounce of Hope. Ounce of Hope is a cannabis farm that ships CBD and psychoactive THC products to your door anywhere in the U.S. This is federally legal. THCA, THC Delta 8 and 9, they have edibles. And now you can check out the brand new drink from Ounce of Hope for 2024, the Berry High 5 milligram THC Seltzer. It's the only 16-ounce THC seltzer on the market. It's only $5, a price no one can beat. At their cannabis farm in Memphis, Ounce of Hope sustainably raises fish to feed local homeless people. I've always thought it's a really cool operation. Besides the delicious seltzer, they have gummies, chocolate, Rice Krispie treats, caramels, topicals, oils, soft gels, you name it. Ounce of Hope grows, extracts, and formulates all of these world-class products in-house, so that you can trust the safety and quality of every product that arrives at your door. So whether you're looking for a little help sleeping at night, something for aches and pains, a way to unwind on the weekend, Ounce of Hope can help you out if you are over 21. And right now you can pick up their Berry High 5 milligram THC seltzers for $5 each at ounceofhope.com. No one can beat that price. And aside from their drinks, you'll get 20% off everything else when you use the code PACMAN. That's ounceofhope.com. Pick up one of their THC seltzers for just $5. Use the code PACMAN to get 20% off everything else. The info is in the podcast notes. One of our sponsors today is Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning carbs or fat, gives you tailored guidance designed to help improve your nutrition, workout, sleep, even stress management. Since your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimizing metabolic health can improve everything from sleep, immune system, energy, blood glucose, your weight, the list goes on. Lumen gives you real-time feedback so you can make adjustments to your lifestyle based on the context of your breath measurement, whether it's first thing in the morning, before or after meals and workouts. It's super easy to use. I've been trying it myself, really impressed with how easy it is. It just doesn't disrupt your day at all. And the app is super intuitive. With more than 54 million metabolic measurements, Lumen is the world leader in metabolic data with a huge community of users that you can connect with. Go to lumen.me and use the code Pacman to get $50 off your Lumen. That's lumen.me. Use the code Pacman for $50 off. The info is in the podcast notes. The David Pacman Show continues to be an audience-funded program. If you're hearing this message, you are not on the member feed and you are not getting the full experience that you could be getting. I invite you to sign up at joinpacman.com. You'll get the daily program commercial-free in audio or video form. You'll get access to the daily bonus show, an extra show that we do every single weekday for our members, and lots of other great perks. JoinPacman.com is the place to sign up. And of course, the coupon code SAVEDEMOCRACY24 continues to be available. Also, I have here with me a copy of the newest children's book, Think Like a Voter, selling like hotcakes at DavidPacman.com/book. It's a kid's book about voting, why it's important to vote. It's part of the series, which I also happen to have here. We have Think Like a Detective. We have Think Like a Scientist. It is a trilogy. And so many people come up to me on the street and they say, sir, you've been treated so unfairly by the publishing industry. Are you going to do any more children's books? And the answer, of course, is I don't know. I'm now deep in the final editing of my actual adult book. And so the children's books may be paused for a bit, but needless to say, the three are available. DavidPacman.com/book. You will see all of them. Thank you very much. There is revolt happening at NBC News and MSNBC over the hiring of former Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel, who tried to facilitate a fake slate of electors to steal the 2020 election. She has now been hired by NBC as if she's a completely normal political analyst rather than a threat to democracy who was unwilling to call out Trump's lies for years about the election. And there are MSNBC hosts who are saying, no. Here is Chuck Todd appearing over the weekend with Kristen Welker, and saying to Kristen Welker, who interviewed Ronna McDaniel on the program yesterday, I can't believe that you had to do this. They are revolting at MSNBC and NBC News. Take a look at this.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor,
right,
by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News's credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access to audience, Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told me we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for.
There is no question here that what Chuck Todd is saying is absolutely right. And it doesn't seem, at least as of right now, that they care over there at MSNBC and NBC. Here is this morning from Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, saying she's not going to be a guest on this program. It is not typical to see on-air talent criticize the hiring of other on-air talent in this way. Will it make a difference? I don't know. Let's listen to what Joe Scarborough had to say.
Be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
Right. What he's saying here is you could argue that Ronna McDaniels is effectively an unindicted co-conspirator in one of the greatest and most deplorable attempts to subvert democracy in American history. Now she's going to be commenting on NBC.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor. Here's why.
But to the question, though, do you disagree with Trump saying he's going to free those who've been charged?
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
So you disagree with that? He's been saying that for months. Ronna, why not speak out earlier? Why just speak out about that now?
When you're the RNC chair, you kind of take one for the whole team, right? Now I get to be a little bit more myself, right?
So listen, she's making the argument, I said what I had to say when I was running the RNC, and now I'll say what I have to say, or now I guess she's saying she'll tell the truth about what she thinks now, because she's now unshackled or whatever. But as Chuck Todd said, was it her real opinion then or now, or are all of these just things she's saying because she's getting paid? But I think the bottom line of it is this. I get being a spokesperson for something else, but to be a spokesperson for the lowest anti-democracy conspiracy that I remember. I mean, I can't remember a worse one being attempted by a sitting president ever in the United States. To say, I'm just a paid spokesperson, this is my job. At a certain point, you have to say, this is too low. This is too low. I get that I'm the RNC chairwoman and I have to defend, I guess, what the Republican Party is doing. But these attempts to subvert democracy, I'm not just going to do it because I'm getting money. And she never did that. So we don't know what she thought then, what she thinks now, what she really thinks. Here's a little bit of another excerpt from her interview with Kristen Welker over the weekend.
I live in Wayne County. Are you okay? Are you all right? Vote your conscience, not pushing them to do anything. And then let me add one other thing. She was threatened to such a degree, Monica, that somebody's gone to jail. Yeah. I'm not going to say the threats that she had, but we can't as parties say we shouldn't be attacking election workers. Election workers need to be safe. And then when it happens to Republicans, ignore it. Well, and only report it when it happens to Democrats. Someone went to jail for these attacks.
I understand what you're saying about the concerns about her safety, but you got on the phone with her with the then president of the United States. How can anyone
saying
see that as anything
not be
other than
to a, change your vote?
But you said, do not sign it. If you can go home tonight, do not sign it. How can people read
that's
that as anything
saying,
other
your
than a pressure campaign?
No, the pressure was being put on them from the hours and hours of threats and abuse they were receiving that coerced them to change their vote.
But if,
and they shouldn't have had to deal with
that. But if they're on the phone with you, and Donald Trump, who was then the president of the United States,
I was not telling them to do anything. What
pressure?
I'm saying is I support you voting your conscience.
Do you, knowing what you know now, do you regret making that phone call, Rana?
I regret the fact that people are being threatened for doing their job in this country.
There you go. Do you regret making that phone call to start urging election officials not to sign off on the results? I regret that people were getting threatened. So, Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, Chuck Todd, they are all absolutely correct. This is not a free speech issue. I know that we will get the right winger saying, oh, David, you want her speech taken away. Being a $300,000 a year paid contributor on NBC is not a right. It's not the government who is suppressing her speech if they don't hire her, much like I don't have a right to speak at whatever college I might want to speak at. She doesn't have a right to make these comments on NBC or MSNBC. So I don't even care if they fire her. I don't watch this crap and I don't plan to pay any attention to the things she says beyond the fact that it's interesting that there is an on-air revolt against her. But it is it really shows the gamification. Oh, well, you know, this was someone in a position of power, so she would make for a good analyst now. She participated in a vile and disgusting attempt to overturn democracy. And she's now being rewarded as someone who is going to give us insight into what is taking place at the Republican Party. Give me a break. Donald Trump insinuated that right-wing interviewer Sebastian Gorka is lying about knowing who Trump is going to select for his vice president. This is absolutely fascinating to hear. Once again, for those who are not familiar with Sebastian Gorka, I envy you. I wish I weren't familiar with Sebastian Gorka, but I am. Sebastian Gorka has been saying for weeks that he has been told who Trump's vice presidential running mate is going to be. He sort of tries to mention that as a flex during an interview with Trump on the Salem News Network. And Trump effectively says that it's a lie by saying, I haven't decided yet. There's no way you could possibly know that, Trump politely saying to Gorka. But there is a but here. Let's take a listen to this clip first, and then I'll tell you more about it.
Talking of your picks, I've been told who you are considering as vice president. I've been told I can't announce it until it's official. When are you thinking of making that announcement, sir?
No hurry, and there is no one person. I mean, I'll tell you, there are numerous people, but we have a lot of great people in the Republican Party. We have a lot of great people that nobody ever heard of in the Republican Party.
So Gorka says, I've been told who it is. And Trump says, there isn't a who it is because I haven't actually decided. Now, the only problem with this is Trump also has said he already decided. And I'm going back to this from January, because when Trump said it, I said to you, is this even true? Because Trump may be lying here, because later on, after this January 10th moment, Trump said, I'm considering lots of people. But Trump did say on Fox News months ago that he knew who it was going to be. I guess that was a lie. Remember this?
Let me just ask you a follow up on that about who would be in your cabinet, in your administration. Mm-hmm. If you are the nominee, which I know you expect to be, who would be in the running for vice president?
Well, I can't tell you that, really. I mean, I know who it's going to be.
Give us a hint.
I'll give you. We'll do another show sometime. Well,
I know who it's going to be. Trump now denies it. So was Gorka told something? I don't know. Had Trump chosen someone in January but changed his mind? Or was Trump lying in January? I don't know. But in any case, Trump insinuating there that Gorka is just making it up. Trump continuing the fear mongering. Trump saying if he does not become the next president of the United States is going to end. It will no longer be a country.
November 5th is the most important day, in my opinion, in the history of our country. If we don't win this election, if we don't win it, we are going to, I think, possibly cease to be a country. I think it's going to be just some really horrible things.
It's going to be over, folks. If Trump doesn't win, the country is over. Now, it just so happens that in the first term of Joe Biden, we have low unemployment. We've got great infrastructure projects generating new jobs, record job creation. More Americans have health care than ever before. GDP growth looks good. Wage growth is outpacing inflation. That's the first term of Biden. For some reason, we are to believe that a second Biden term would effectively end the United States. Pretty wild stuff. Trump then saying to auto workers, union workers, if you vote against Trump, you aren't smart.
I tell you what, if any auto worker, United Auto Worker or other, if any auto worker voted against Trump, they are not the smartest people.
Is this a good strategy? If Jews vote for Democrats, Trump recently said, they are voting for their own destruction. If union members vote for Democrats, they're dumb. If black people vote for Democrats, they're ignoring how great things were for black people under Donald Trump. And then we get to this is what we've been building towards. He did it in 2020 and he's doing it again. Democrats will try to steal 2024. Haven't we heard this already?
Are you confident that this election, at least, will be secure and fair?
So they're going to try and rig it. I have no doubt about it. They've been doing it for years. And look, how can you win on open borders, high interest rates, a woke military, all the things that they talk about, all electric cars? How about all electric cars? They don't go far. They cost too much and they're made in China. How do you do that? So how can they win with what they do? Their policies are so bad. The thing they do best is cheating at elections and misinformation.
So listen, in 2020, starting over the summer, Donald Trump started saying Democrats are going to try to steal this election. And it was Trump who tried to steal the election, and thankfully he failed. Now he's starting with Democrats are going to try to rig the election. We should understand that as I am going to try to rig the election, I being Donald Trump. That's the message I'm getting from this. And the allegations are admissions, seemingly. And he's telling it to us again. And by the way, what a wacky interviewer, that Sebastian Gorka, just teeing up easy questions for Trump. They couldn't be any easier. And Trump still managing to mangle the responses in such a way that he comes off as a clueless dictator wannabe. But that's Trump at the end of the day. Let's take a very quick break. What's going on with the bond money? That's the real question this morning and this afternoon. Let's deal with it after this short break. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, you're certainly not alone. Millions of Americans are searching for ways to just feel better. Many feel they've exhausted every option. They don't know where to turn. If that sounds like you, then guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom could be a game changer. Our sponsor, MindBloom, can help you potentially feel better faster. I've been reading about ketamine therapy and ketamine treatment for a long time for depression and anxiety. We've done interviews about it on the show. There are many promising studies, and MindBloom is the leader in ketamine therapy. They've helped tens of thousands of people overcome anxiety and depression. MindBloom's expert clinicians and guides can help you feel better and quickly, not weeks or months. And you can complete treatment entirely from the comfort of your home. In a study of over 1,000 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in anxiety and depression after just 4 sessions. And now MindBloom has new programs that go beyond just depression and anxiety to overcome life's everyday challenges. MindBloom is offering my audience $100 off your first 6-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/Pacman and use the promo code Pacman. Break free from the anxiety, the depression, feel better with MindBloom. That's MindBloom.com/Pacman. Use code Pacman for $100. The info is in the podcast notes. We all know someone who's been the victim of identity theft or accidentally downloading a virus, and it costs time, money, maybe your personal files. And what I've used for years to keep my devices safe from malware is Malware Bytes. I've been using this for years and years before they ever became a sponsor. And it's because Malware Bytes is just the standard. It gets great scores from the independent cybersecurity labs. It's almost always the top choice from consumer tech publications. CNET, for example, just declared Malware Bytes the best malware removal service of 2024. Malware Bytes' expertise and dedication to cybersecurity excellence just sets them apart from the other antivirus companies. They catch all kinds of threats that antiviruses often don't. You get comprehensive real-time protection against a huge variety of online threats, and it will detect and remove existing malware already on your devices as well. And now you can get the Identity Theft Protection Bundle to protect your entire family's personal information with live monitoring, alerts, recovery assistance, and up to $1 million in identity theft insurance. Malware Bytes has a special deal only for the David Pakman Show. You can get any Malware Bytes subscription for 50% off. That's half off at malwarebytes.com/Pakman. That's malware, BYTES.com/Pakman to get half off your subscription. The link is in the podcast notes. Friends and loved ones, today is the day, unless the day changes. Donald Trump needs to find $450 million today and is sending desperate fundraising emails begging for money. So let's discuss what we're talking about. It's not actually 450 to be precise. It's $464 million. Trump needs to find the money now to deal with the New York civil fraud case for inflating property values. The deadline for payment is today. And failure to pay by the end of the day, unless he is given another reprieve, could lead to asset seizure and bank account freezes by New York State. This threatens Trump's business empire. This threatens Trump's brand. This threatens the image some still hold of him as a successful business person. I don't know who still holds that. But this also imperils Trump's political future and his legal future as well. He's the presumptive Republican nominee for the upcoming presidential race. He has not yet officially been crowned the nominee. He will be at the RNC over the summer, but he has secured the number of delegates necessary. And he says that everything that's happening to him, it's all simply because it's Democrats trying to prevent him from becoming the next president of the United States. He does have, regardless of his opinion about that, he does have a number of failed attempts to secure the funds that he needs. He has approached 30 different surety companies for a bond unsuccessfully. We'll hear from Eric Trump about that a little bit later. And it is challenging to raise this amount of money. Now, he is simultaneously claiming he has all the money, and yet he continues to claim in order to get the money, he may have to sell his properties. And then we get to my primary concern. I don't really care how rich Trump actually is. It's certainly not as rich as he claims to be, but he's probably a billionaire, even with more reasonable estimates of the values of his assets. I care about the political implications, and this could very much complicate Trump's political campaign, especially if he ends up maybe needing to go to foreign entities to secure the money that he needs. His lawyer or spokesperson, Alina Haba, not ruling out going to the Saudis or going to the Russians if it indeed comes to it. And by the way, the situation also really sort of underlines how wealth and power and politics intersect, which raise even more questions about transparency. What do we still not really know the history of Trump's financial doings? Do we still not really feel as though there is going to be accountability here, depending on what it is that ends up happening in the hours that remain today? And at the bottom line, the reason Trump's not finding anyone to front the money he needs for the bond is because the appeal is looking pretty flimsy. Now, Eric Trump later will say the reason we can't get the money is the amount is unfair and no one's ever done this and we're victims and we're being treated worse than anybody else. Part of why he is not being fronted the money is that if Trump doesn't have the money now and someone fronts him the money and he loses on appeal and still doesn't have the money, then where is the return on that investment going to come for the banks and the surety companies that are being asked to do this. And Trump is now relegated to sending out desperate fundraising emails. Here's one that went out saying, "We won't give up Trump Tower." Trump literally fundraising on the idea that they may take Trump Tower from him, writing, "This is un-American. The insane New York AG Letitia James has set her corrupt eyes on my properties in New York. This includes the iconic Trump Tower. Democrats think this will force me to give up. They think that if they can get cash to stifle my campaign, I'll roll over and quit. But the worst thing of all, they think that proud supporters like you will abandon me. But here's one thing they don't know. We will never surrender." Biden's corrupt regime needs to get the message right here, right now, that our patriotic movement cannot be stopped. And then Trump says, "Before the day is over, I'm calling on a million pro-Trump patriots to chip in to my campaign to stop the witch hunt." Trump is desperately trying to fundraise based on what is happening with the bond, and he is spiraling badly. And I want to look at that next. Failed former President Donald Trump spent the entire weekend and this morning spiraling in a meltdown over the asset seizure deadline that is looming today, unless someone gives Trump a get out of jail free card of sorts. Trump starting over the weekend, quote, this is all, by the way, on Truth Social. "At what point are the actions of a sitting president using lawfare against his opponents for purposes of election interference considered illegal?" By the way, there's no evidence Biden's doing anything. "I believe, as do various highly respected legal scholars, that crooked Joe Biden has long since crossed over that very sacred threshold." Trump then going all caps. "Letitia James has a terrible record on violent crime as New York State Attorney General, but at least she goes after Trump for doing absolutely nothing wrong." Trump continuing about the judge. "The judge in the AG case fraudulently undervalued Mar-a-Lago at $18 million. In order to create this fake narrative." By the way, that's not true. $18 million was the assessed value for property tax purposes. The judge didn't do anything. Trump adding he is grossly incompetent. There's an extra S there, and corrupt. "I should have zero fine." Trump trothing in all caps, simply abuse of power. And then continuing, "These are rigged cases, all coordinated by the White House and DOJ for purposes of election interference." There's no evidence of that, by the way. "The number Engoron said is fraudulent. It should be zero. I did nothing wrong. The DA case that I'm going to today should be dismissed. No crime. Our country is corrupt." And then lastly, this morning, just losing it. "Crooked polls. There should be no fine. Did nothing wrong. Why should I be forced to sell my babies because a corrupt New York judge and AG set a fake and ridiculous number? Take his cash so that he can't use it to defeat his political opponent, crooked Joe Biden. Election interference, all headed up by the White House. This includes Fani and the corrupt Manhattan DA Bragg. Admitted there was no crime, was mortified by what Mark Pomerantz did, and he should be witch hunt." If you had trouble following that syntactically, I don't blame you. The problem is almost certainly not with you. It's with these posts. So this is a full scale meltdown. Trump needs some kind of miracle today. He may get it. If he does, we'll discuss it tomorrow. But Eric Trump also, sort of unknowingly, unwittingly, admitting what we all already know. Let's talk about that next. Eric Trump, not known as the smartest of the Trump children, admits that lenders are laughing at Donald Trump when he comes to them and asks them to help him with the $454 million bond. I love this. They're laughing, but for a different reason than Eric thinks they're laughing. Here is Eric Trump yesterday morning with Fox News Trump brown noser Maria Bartiromo. Listen to what he had to say about what's going on with the money.
$454 million or $464 million and what the real number is. How did they come up with this number?
You know what? It was a crooked number. There are no victims. There is no number. Right. The number should be zero. My father's run a great company. I run a great company. We've never had a default. We've never missed a payment. We've never been in a breach of covenant. Every single one of our lenders came out, and he goes out, and the judge comes out and says, "You know, I want to take disgorgement. I want to go back and I want to take interest rates that you paid on mortgages and put it up to 10, 11, 12% and go back 20 years. And we already won this in the appellate court. The appellate court already said that there's a statute of limitation, that 99% of what he put in there is thrown out. But Maria, this isn't about this. This is lawfare. They want to hurt my father, who is winning the presidential race right now. He's beating Biden in every single poll, in every...
By the way, that's such a lie. In more and more polls, Biden's winning, as we covered last week.
...single swing state. He came out and said he wants to put hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money into his campaign. Right. And how do they deprive him of that? They have that judge that you have on the screen right there come up with an astronomical number, give you zero time to post a bond that's not even commercially available in the United States. No one's ever seen a bond this size. Every single person, when I came to them saying, hey, can I get a $500 million bond? Maria, they were laughing. They were laughing. Yeah. Top executives of the largest surety companies had never seen anything of this size. And what, they're going to start seizing assets? If he can't put up something that's not available?
They may indeed start seizing assets. That's right. You know, the reason that they were laughing is because Trump and his family are a laughingstock of their own making. They're laughing because why would a surety company put up a bond of this size to a guy who's known for lying about his wealth, lying about the value of his assets? That's what's at issue here. Not paying lawyers, not paying other contractors. They were laughing because it's ridiculous that they would give Trump this money, especially when it's not at all clear that Trump's appeal is even going to be successful. That's why they were laughing. And just hilarity after hilarity, Eric Trump whining that Mar-a-Lago, it's really worth $1 billion. It really is.
From Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, he says he's questioning whether or not he'll ever do business in New York again because of this.
Sure. And by the way, and Joe Rogan's talking about it every single day, and everybody else is talking about it. The entire Florida real estate community is laughing. The judge said that Mar-a-Lago was worth $18 million. $18 million. You can't buy anything on the island of Palm Beach for $18 million, let alone by far the largest house. A house that's probably worth $1 billion. I mean, Maria, this is the entire Florida real estate community is laughing at this.
Everybody's laughing. The bankers are laughing. The Florida real estate community is laughing. Again, the judge didn't say Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million on the open market. That's the valuation, the assessment for tax purposes. Rarely are properties assessed for their exact market value, but there is absolutely no data that justifies Mar-a-Lago being worth $1 billion. And then lastly, here is Eric Trump saying they are trying to deprive him of cash at the end of the day.
The entire Florida real estate community is laughing at this. The entire real estate community in general is petrified of New York. You know how much business New York State is losing because of this? Because they see this radical, and you even have the governor, Kathy Hochul, comes out and say, you know, we're going to do this to Trump, but we're not going to do it to any of you. Don't worry about it. We'll do it to him, but we won't do it to any of you. Mm-hmm. Maria, they're trying to deprive him of his cash. They want to bankrupt him. They want to hurt him so badly, and it's going to backfire because he's going to win this in November. And everybody in this country universally knows exactly what these people are doing.
It's sounding to me like Eric is a little bit worried about his inheritance. That seems to be maybe what this is really about. And by the way, he's also been fined, so he's not completely innocent in this entire thing. Listen, there are two stories here. One story is there's no actual evidence against Trump at all. All of these findings, judgments, verdicts, they're all wrong. It's all directed by Joe Biden. Everything is perfect. Mar-a-Lago is worth $1 billion or $1.5 billion. And these are the biggest victims in the world. Or all of these cases are coming forward because there is evidence. The evidence comports to what we've long suspected about Donald Trump. And we are now seeing at least an attempt. I don't know that it's actually going to get us that. I don't know that it's going to get us to real consequences, but we are seeing an attempt for there to be consequences and to hold Donald Trump accountable for the things for which there is evidence that he did wrong. We, in the next 24 hours, it's going to be a big moment. What happens with the bond? We will discuss it tomorrow. Let's take a very quick break and be right back with more after this. As many of you have heard me say before, when I go to a wine shop, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm Argentinian and I still know almost nothing about wine. So if you're like me, you might be able to use some help. Our sponsor, Naked Wines, has you covered. Naked Wines is a subscription service that will connect you to to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. You pay a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores because they cut out the retail middlemen. You get exclusive access to hundreds of top quality award-winning wines. They get delivered however often you want, perfect for any type of wine drinker. You'll get background information on the bottle. You have friends over. You can seem like you know something by telling them something about the wine. My girlfriend likes white wine. I'm more of a red guy by necessity just because I'm Argentinian, even though I know absolutely nothing. So we get like a split box that has a few bottles of each. Every bottle is a passion project from some independent winemaker. So you're literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true. You'll get your first six bottles for $39.99. Go to nakedwines.com/Pacman and click enter voucher at the top and type in Pacman as the code and as the password. That's nakedwines.com/Pacman. Enter Pacman as the code and password. The info is in the podcast notes. Let me tell you about something I use every day just because it's a way I can simplify my life. And I'm looking for simple these days. I don't always perfectly plan every meal and calculate every vitamin and mineral and micro. I get close, but the reason I turn to our sponsor AG1 is that it makes it easy every morning before my cappuccino. I have a scoop of AG1 mixed into water. I get the 75 vitamins and minerals that I want from whole food sourced ingredients. And it's just so easy. You can't find a more comprehensive powder supplement on the market. I get my daily nutrients. I increase my vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant intake. AG1 is just easier and it's more cost effective than dealing with dozens of vitamin bottles and the whole thing. Just simplify things for yourself with AG1. One scoop a day, get your nutritional bases covered. I recommend AG1 to friends. Many of them have picked it up and love it. Try AG1, get a free year supply of vitamin D3 and K2, plus five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/Pacman. That's drinkag1.com/Pacman. The link is in the podcast notes. We're continuing to hear stories from the group Republican Voters Against Trump. And part of the reason these are so interesting is that we're hearing from a wide range of Trump supporters. We're hearing from Trump supporters who were very casual and didn't really engage in politics other than voting Trump, all the way to the other side of the spectrum in today's example, where Nathan from Ohio is not only a former Trump supporter and a Republican, but actually donated and campaigned and worked in whatever ways he could to try to get Trump elected previously, and is now giving the message that even Republicans can vote for Joe Biden. Take a listen to this one. This is an interesting one. Then we'll talk about it.
We absolutely cannot have someone who incited the rhetoric that then put an attack on the institutions of our government, on our representatives and our senators whose lives were put at risk on January 6th. My name is Nathan from Ohio. I did vote for Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020, but I will never again after that, because after 2020, I felt betrayed after having donated and campaigned and phone banked for him and then his conduct after the election. You can still be a Republican, but vote for Joe Biden. Mm. The way I see it, he's not running to be president of the United States anymore. At this point, he is running to save himself from all the criminal indictments. He has spent, what, $50, $60 million of his campaign dollars, RNC money, almost making the Republican National Committee broke just to fund his legal bills. You know, he talks about the establishment is out to get him. He is the establishment of the RNC. He's trying to take it over with his family. We absolutely cannot have someone who incited the rhetoric that then put an attack on the institutions of our government, on our representatives and our senators whose lives were put at risk on January 6th, and then expect him to be able to be elected president and be put into office and to cooperate? No. Dictators will always tell you what they're going to do. Putin said he'd invade Ukraine. He did. He said Poland is next. He's going to do it. Xi Jinping said he's going to take Hong Kong. He did it. He said Taiwan's next. Donald Trump has said that he will have retribution. He's going to do it. Don't think that he won't, because he will.
The only thing that we can hope for is, well, he'll try. he won't necessarily succeed at all the things he wants to do, but trying is bad enough and it's good enough reason to vote against him. What's the takeaway from this one? The takeaway from this one is that even the most committed to the cult can get out of it. This was not a casual Trump voter. This was a two-time Trump voter who donated and voted and campaigned and phone banked. And there was a too far for him. Now, again, I feel I'm not trying to be insulting. The people we're hearing from in Republican voters against Trump seem normal. They don't seem, in some cases, it's the interviews at the Trump rallies. The people seem severely mentally ill. Sometimes they seem to have significant cognitive limitations. Sometimes they seem to be genuinely horrible people with no ethical or moral compass. The folks that we're hearing in these testimonies from Republican voters against Trump, they strike me as normal people. So I know that this doesn't apply to everybody, but it's still someone who was very committed based on everything that he told us that he did, and he was able to get out of it. The other takeaway for me is the straw that breaks the camel's back is different for different people. And in thinking about cult deprogramming and getting people out of the cult, we have to understand that what's motivating to one voter may not be motivating to someone else. For example, there are those who say the last straw for me was when Roe v. Wade was finally overturned. And that depended on the three Supreme Court justices that Trump had selected. And then it all of a sudden made sense. And I realized, oh, women's rights are evaporating. Now, we could all go, you're so stupid. You should have known it. He told us. OK, but they're saying what's broke the straw that broke the camel's back was when Roe v. Wade finally was overturned. And then they got it. Fine. Come on. Vote Biden. Come on back. Come on out. Whatever. For this guy, it was different. It was what he had campaigned on and then what he tried to do January 6th, etc. Fine. We have to meet people where they are. And even though as a wholesale strategy, I don't think deprogramming Trumpists is how Biden wins next election. I do think that it's important for anybody having these conversations to not only generate an empathetic environment in which they're comfortable telling you what's going on and that they're having doubts, but also validating whatever is their reason for wanting to get out. This is just a funny thing. Dark Brandon trolled Trump brutally after Trump started bragging that he won some meaningless golf trophies at his own golf club. The childish nature of this guy is, and I'm talking about Trump, by the way, is just so pathetic. Trump put out a Truth Social post, which we'll put up for you, which said, "It is my great honor to be at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach tonight, awards night, to receive the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy. I won both a large and golfing talented membership, a great and difficult course, made the play very exciting. The qualifying and match play was amazing. A large and distinguished group will be there tonight. Very exciting. Thank you." This is so pathetic. Trophies at his own golf club. And Trump happened to win both tournaments. I mean, it's all so pathetic and absurd. And in comes Dark Brandon, President Joe Biden, and says, "Congratulations, Donald. Quite the accomplishment." Really contrasting what Biden is up to these days, at least trying to solve real problems and passing legislation and so on. And Trump is winning. You know, when I say that we have an award-winning bonus show, and then I jokingly add, yes, they're all awards we give out, but we're still award winning.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money.
Yeah.
Everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
That is what Trump is doing here. Seriously. I won the trophies that I've organized to give out at my own club in the tournaments that I run. So anyway, there are so many contrasts here. If we want to be serious for a moment, the vision that the Biden administration is putting forward, one of continuing to make improvements to healthcare and student loans and drug prices and international relations and infrastructure and getting rid of lead pipes. And that's one vision. OK, the other vision is egomaniacal self-aggrandizement, dictatorial ambitions, making fun of disabled people and union workers and, you know, everybody, and doing absolutely nothing functionally substantive for anybody. Those are the two competing visions. And we see them also in how Biden spent this weekend and how Trump spent this weekend, despite the fact that he's got 91 felony counts against him, claims to be running a campaign, etc. You make the pick. For me, it's a very clear choice. We have a voicemail number that you can call anytime. If you have a message for me, you can call 219-2-DAVID-P. Here's a voicemail from a Trumper, an ominous message in some ways. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, Pac-Man. Jimmy. You blocked me on Twitter just because you is a shill, not me.
I'm a shill, so I blocked him on Twitter. Okay, maybe.
Trump is amazing, and you will see the light. And when you do, you're going to wish you was thinking like you used to. Trump 2024 and forever.
Forever Trump. Now, there's somebody who doesn't have a problem with Trump's dictator for a day. Listen, if I didn't see the light on Trump during his first term or during his second campaign or during the years that he's been out of office and behaving like an absolutely unhinged lunatic, I don't know that I'm going to see the light on Trump if and when he wins in November of 2024. I don't think that that's going to happen, but I'll keep an open mind. We have such a fantastic bonus show for you today. Vladimir Putin is linking Ukraine to the recent massacre in Moscow. It might shock you to hear this with absolutely no evidence whatsoever. Ron DeSanctimonious in Florida has signed a bill which will allow teenagers to work longer hours. Isn't that nice? We'll talk about it. And we have the latest data in about X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Fewer people are using the platform. Fewer people are posting, I guess, their excretions now. Fewer excretions on Twitter. Struggled with user retention over a recent period. It's all working really poorly on X. And we will talk about if there's anything that can be done to turn it around. Get instant access to the bonus show by signing up at joinpacman.com. Also remember, I have here the trilogy of children's books, Think Like a Detective, Introduction to Critical Thinking. Oh, wait, I've got them in the wrong order. Wait a second. Okay, here we go. Think Like a Detective, the first book, Introduction to Critical Thinking for Kids. Think Like a Scientist, Introduction to the Scientific Method for Kids. And released days ago, to much fanfare, already winning many awards that we've created, just like Trump's golf trophies. Think Like a Voter. Why is it important to vote? How does our voting system work? Very appropriate for an election year. You can get all three of them at davidpacman.com/book. And please, 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 please leave a review. Leave a review. The reviews are critical. We'll see you on the bonus show, and I will be back with you tomorrow.